This is HPR episode 2736 entitled Response to Show 2720 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 18 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is some suggestions on how to improve a Bash script.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm doing a show that I've not, of the type that I've not done before. I'm responding to show number 2720. This was a show that Ken Fallon did on January the 4th, and he was talking about a script which he'd written to download YouTube channels using RSS feeds. He offered up a Bash script called YouTubeRSS.bash and talked about how it worked and stuff. And I thought it was very cool. I've not done this sort of thing myself, but I've sort of fiddled around in that particular region of things. So it was quite an interesting listen, I found. So one of the things I do, which is, I don't know if it's good or bad, might be irritating, is when I see a Bash script, I usually find myself looking at it with an eye to rewriting stuff to make it fit better with the stuff that I've been learning while I've been doing this series of Bash tips that I do. And I think it's a useful thing to do because it's a way of understanding a script. It's also sometimes people have much better ideas than the ones I was going to offer, so I can learn from them. And it's also useful when it comes to my own scripts. I've been writing Bash scripts since the 1990s when we had Bash on Unix systems, Ultrix, I think it was. So I'm always looking at my own scripts thinking, oh, that's not a good way of doing it. I could improve on that. So I do this a lot, okay? So looking at Ken's script, it's needless to say, I saw some areas for improvement. And I thought that making a show about it would be a way of sharing my thoughts about them. As we're quite low on shows as I'm putting this together, this also motivated me to do a show rather than just write comments to Ken's show or send him an email. So that in general, there are a few uses of while loops in the script that I would be inclined to rewrite, and I'll probably say a little bit more about them a little bit later. But since the script works as it stands, then that's it's more advisory than me saying you really should change that. What I did was I grabbed the YouTube RSS script and put it into Vim. And there I have a tool called Shell Check, which is being run by another tool, whose purpose is to examine Bash scripts. I've mentioned this before. And quite a lot of issues were thrown up. Most of them were quite trivial, but a few are a bit more serious. And in order to give you some sort of taste of what this might mean or how this would be represented, I did a screenshot of an editor session, which I've turned into an image for this show. There's a thumbnail, which you can click in the long notes, which will take you to a picture part of the file and the error messages that Shell Check is producing. Errors and warnings, really. So it's worth maybe looking at a few of these. I could spend ages going into this in depth, but even I'm not that keen to do that. I'm sure you're not keen to listen to it. First one is on line 34, and Shell Check doesn't like the expression open double quotes dollar, open curly bracket, log file, close curly bracket, close double quotes, dot, dollar, open parenthesis. /bin/date, etc., close parenthesis. What Ken's doing here is taking the log file variable, and he's concatenating that with a full stop, a dot, and the result of running the date command with date stamp, year, month, day, hour, minute, second type thing. Great. I do these sort of thing a lot. It's really good. But ShellCheck doesn't like it because it's working on the principle that what comes back from date could have spaces in it, in which case the shell will parse the whole string and will say, oh, there's spaces in there, and might well split it up in whatever context it's being used. If you adjust it to put the quotes around the whole expression, then it's perfectly happy. Now, thing about shell check, I'm going to do a show on it a bit later anyway, but it will be saying things. It's very clever, but it's not as clever as a human. And so it will be reporting things that just look like they could be a problem, but aren't necessarily. This is not in itself a problem. Personally, I fix these things in my own scripts to shut the thing up. Second point, on lines 39 and 48, there are instances of the read command, but it doesn't use the -r option. -r is recommended because it prevents any backslash characters in the input from being mangled. Not quite clear exactly what happens, but anyway, it's a recommendation. And so ShellCheck moans about that. I found just going and adding them in to my copy of it made it stop. Also on the same two lines, 39 and 48, there are these while loops. And the while loops are of the form something or other that generates data, a series of commands or something, piped into while. And then after that, the body of the loop and done. Now, I've said this in some of my other shows on the Bash Tips heading, that if you do that, it means anything that you change in the loop body, that any variables that you change in the loop body don't get passed back to the main script. And that can catch you out. So in general, I avoid loops of that structure. Now, in Ken's case, there's no need to do that, but I'm just saying. And I normally turn them into a while, read, etc., body of the loop, and then at the end of the loop, I put a process substitution which generates the data for the loop. And in that case, you're not going to have issues with passing variables back to the main script. Now, it's not a serious issue with Ken's script. It's just a thing that's probably a wise habit to get into of writing loops in a way that they can't catch you out. As they stand in Ken's script, that it's not an issue. But if he were to come back to it at a later stage and put some accumulator in there or something or other happening in there that he wants to use in the main script, he would find it wouldn't work as the thing's structured now. So it's a good idea just to get into that habit. I think you may think differently, but it's just about some hints and tips that I've found on my journey. So I wanted to look at three instances of things I would be inclined to rewrite. Again, I've referred to them by line within the script as it was downloaded from Ken's show 2720. First off is line 50. And in this line, Ken's doing an if test. And the test is in square brackets, and it consists of, in quotes, a command substitution which uses grep, and it's comparing a variable called this video with log file. Log file is a file. It's going to look for the string this video in the actual file. If it gets anything back, well, whatever it gets back, will be counted in a pipe with the WC command, WC minus L, which will count the number of lines that come back. So there could be no lines, or there could be one, possibly more. And this expression is then compared with zero. So this is very convoluted, I would say. I think I did cover some of these sorts of things in some of the other shows I've done. What I would do with this is I would rewrite it. And my rewrite would be to use the fact that grep will return a true false value, and you can tell it not to return any lines of data. Because normally grep will pull stuff out of the file that matches whatever you're trying to match. If there are matches, that is. That's what Ken was trying to do, and he was counting the number that came back. So you would do if, and you don't need to put this in square brackets at all, you would use an exclamation mark to invert the result of the grep test. Then it would be grep space hyphen Q. That means that grep is to not produce any output, Q for quiet. Then the variable this video in quotes, and then the log file name. So if this video is found in the log file, then the not in front of it, the exclamation mark, will turn that to false. If it's not found, then it will return true. So in other words, it's doing the same thing. It's looking to see if the string in this video is not in the log file. I think Ken was trying to determine whether he'd already downloaded something. Moving on to line 68, we've got another rather convoluted if statement. In this particular case, it's complicated by the fact that the downloadable version of the script, it has got a variable called skipcrap, which I think is a great name, and it's been commented out. So you're going to find that shell check is going to say, "What? There's no variable called skipcrap. How come you're using this?" And I imagine it's sort of waving its hands in the air and running around in circles, but that's just me. I re-enabled this. This was Ken's plan to check for certain nonsense in the titles of videos coming back. So what he has here is, in double square brackets, he has a not, an exclamation mark, then he's got hyphen Z, and then the variable skipcrap in quotes and curly brackets, because sometimes that's a good idea. So he's checking to see if the skipcrap variable is zero length, and then he's reversing the answer. So he's actually asking to whether it's non-zero length. So that's a bit back to front, I reckon. I replaced that with hyphen N and then the variable skipcrap. That's then followed by double ampersand. So he's looking for the case where skipcrap is not empty, effectively, because otherwise there's no point in doing the rest of the test. And the original uses another command substitution, dollar open parenthesis. And here Ken echoes the title, which will be the title of the current video that is being processed, into egrep with the hyphen I option, using variable skipcrap as the string to compare. So what that's doing is it's telling egrep to compare the contents of skipcrap, which is a regular expression. It's a bunch of words separated by vertical bars, but it's the type that egrep can handle. And comparing that with what comes in on its standard input, which is title, which has been echoed to it by the previous command in the pipeline. And then if anything comes from, well, everything that comes from back from that is counted with a WC minus L. And on the completion, the closed parenthesis, the completion of that command substitution, there will be a value which is being compared with zero. It's a not equal to zero. So I did a first rewrite, which, again, echoed title to... I changed egrep because Shellcheck was complaining about it. There is no egrep command officially anymore. Egrep is actually grep space hyphen capital E. If you do if you look up the man page for egrep, you don't find one. It takes you to the grep one. Then I told it to be quiet with a hyphen Q, then Ken's hyphen I, and then the variable skipcrap. So I changed that, and I did it outside of the double square brackets because it's just a pipeline which is doing some stuff and it's returning a true or false value. So this is a somewhat more tidy. Well, it's certainly not doing the thing where you're getting grep to output some stuff and then you're counting it and then you're comparing the result, the number of lines with a value, because we just want a true or false out of it. I've already said some of this, so I'll repeat myself. And so this actually works. Then I thought, well, really, what's happening here is the string in title is being compared with the string in skipcrap using a regular expression match, except that it's using grep or egrep to do it. So I thought, what would happen if you used Bash's regular expressions? So I wrote a version of this with everything in the double square brackets that you have to do for regular expressions, and replaced the pipeline with $title equals tilde $skipcrap. I'm not a great one for the curly brackets, or I don't need them, but it's up to you how you do that. So I did a little test. I copied Ken's skipcrap string into skipcrap on the command line, created a title, the best bets in the world, and then I ran the little a little test against the test string, the regular expression test. If it matched, it was to echo crap, otherwise it echoes non-crap. And since Ken was looking for best pet stuff, then it worked. The downside with that answer is that the test is case sensitive, whereas with grep, the hyphen I made it case insensitive. But there's a way around that, and the way is to make sure that both title and skipcrap are forced to lowercase just for the test. So I gave an example of how you would do that, and that works fine. If I change the case of the title in my experiment, I didn't put this in the notes, it also matches. It matches whatever the case is, as that was what I was intending to do. The last one, line 88. Ken has a massively long line which starts with cat, and then in double quotes, $logfile_todo. This is a case where he does need the curly brackets, piped into the YouTube DL command with all of its various arguments. Now, Shellcheck complains about this and says it's what it calls a useless cat. And the full message I copied into the notes here says, useless cat, consider command less than file piped into something or other, or command file piped ... instead. So basically it's saying that you can probably replace, well, you should be replacing that cat, because all the cat is doing is taking a file, squirting it out on standard out. So it's caught by the thing down the pipe on its standard input channel and then processed. Now, I don't know YouTube DL that well. I would be surprised if you can't give it a file as its argument. But in the assumption that you can't and is expecting stuff on its input channel, well, you can write the string or using YouTube DL to start with and with all its arguments, and then at the end of it use redirection, a less than sign, and the name of the file that you're going to be reading from. So that would do it. The other way you can do it, and it's perfectly legal, but it's the thing I personally never do, is to start the whole line with a less than, the name of the file, and then YouTube DL, etc., etc., etc. There's a Wikipedia article on the use of cat, and there's also a reference to the page UUOC, which stands for Useless Use of Cat, which there was some sort of competition for an award for the most useless use of the cat command in Unix. I'm not sure if it's still alive. I think it's referenced in the Wikipedia article. The process of removing useless cats is called demogification, which I'm told is a Britishism, because we tend to call cats moggies in Britain. I don't know if that's specifically British or what, but that just amused me. So, in conclusion, Bash is powerful but does some things in an obscure way. We know this very well. Shellcheck's helpful tool helps you catch scripting errors, but it can be a little bit of an irritant when it nags about things. You can shut it up in various ways. I'm preparing another HPR episode about its use with Vim and the use of it with other checkers. It's really powerful. So I thought people would be mildly interested in that. Finally, apologies to Ken if it seemed I was making excessive criticisms of his script. It was meant to be constructive criticism, of course. And as I said at the start, Ken was asking for constructive criticism. So there we go. Anyway, I hope you found that useful, and catch you next time. Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hekka Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.